Half an hour later, they looked out over a new and different world. It was the source of the light they had seen down the tunnel past the mound of fallen stone. Leia had judged it to be closer, so they had headed in that direction. The walk had been easy, though they had all but emptied the gear from the speeder, and Han had taken turret gun grenades besides. In Kessel's gravity, the 60 or so kilos of gear he was packing was a comparatively comfortable load. The approach to the point where lofting tunnel met vast cavern was a rise. Han and Leia had to clamber up a steep climb of stone some 3 meters high before they could look into the cavern beyond. The size of a city, the cavern was lined with great blocks of manufactured equipment, each block the size of a human habitation. Some were as large as 3-level houses, some the size of 10-story apartment buildings, and all were thick with colored lights, some constant, some blinking regularly or intermittently. The faces of the equipment blocks were broken down into rectangles of different colors of metal. But at this distance, Han could not tell whether they were merely decorative touches or if the rectangles were access hatches. In addition to the indicators on the equipment, there was light from above and below. The ceiling of the chamber had patches of greenish material, possibly organic, that exuded a soft blue-green glow. The floor was bare of equipment and was littered, though not thickly, with greenish round-capped fungi, some of which stood taller than Han. Light from all of these sources blended together into the dim, pale glow Han and Leia had seen from so far away. The vista of machinery, fungi, and cavern walls went on as far as the eye could see, kilometers at least. Leia reached over and gently pressed up on Han's jaw under his breath mask, closing his mouth. "Lando has no idea what he's sitting on, does he?" Han shook his head.
"If all of this shut down tomorrow, just the scrap value would make him a richer man."
"But what's it for?"
"Let's find out."
Hitching up her pack, she walked down into the cavern. They divided their duties naturally and without discussion. Leia investigated the machinery. Han kept his eye out for predatory life forms. Within a few minutes' walk, they reached the first bank of machinery on the right-hand sloping wall of the cavern. First in their path was a cabinet-like structure the size of a warehouse. Its panels, mostly black, gleamed with what looked like thousands of small rectangular lights. Leia put her hands on her hips and stared up at the thing.
Where to start?
"Something's powering it, if it doesn't have some sort of internal reactor. There's probably a series of cables entering it somewhere. And unless it's doing whatever it does in isolation, it's receiving or sending data, by cable, by broadcast, somehow."
At nearly ground level, a bogey emerged from the face of the machine. It hovered there, a few meters from Han and Leia, and emitted a faint chittering noise, like a whole colony of curious insects.
"Or maybe I have no idea what I'm talking about," Han said.
City of Dorshan, Doran.
Fresh from the Jade Shadow Sanisteem and dressed in a clean robe, Ben joined his father in the main cabin. Dinner consisted of prepackaged meals, heated in the yacht's tiny pulse oven. But Ben was all right with that. The Nerf loaf, tuber mash, and seasoned greens in the individual compartments of the tray reminded him of food from home. Bad food from home.
"So," his father said, "what did you learn today?"
"A little bit about the difference between the way skinny limbs with dense leather muscles move compared with human arms and legs. That's about it. Oh, and you know that thing where the sages decide it's time to die and they just will themselves to do it?"
Luke nodded.
"One of the Baron Doe masters has decided to do that. Charsay Saul, the senior combat instructor. He worked with Tistura Pon and me today."
"Did you talk to him about it?"
Ben nodded.
"I didn't, you know, just blurt it out, why have you decided to die, or anything like that. But Tistura Pon had some questions about his ceremony tomorrow. She was pretty sad. She was his special student. He gave her a data card with his memoirs and instruction manuals on it. He'd just finished it."
"What did you ask him?"
"Well, I said that from the human perspective, it was always sad when a good person died,
when he took his knowledge with him. He said he was leaving his knowledge behind. I asked if he had family, and he said he would be seeing them again someday, by which I took it he meant they were already dead.
He plans to die tomorrow. Ben nodded. Luke frowned.
What?
Turn of phrase. But Luke said no more on the subject.
What did you learn today, Dad?
I learned to make a ball float at a constant altitude, but not to make it be still.
You had an exciting day.
I also learned that there's something about Jason's visit here, or about the former Masters of the Sages, that Tyla Mong doesn't want me to know. That was probably the hidden thought I kept feeling last night.
Once you've figured out the scanner blanking technique and you've pried all of Tyla Mong's secrets out, where are we going next?
Luke shrugged. We'll have to take that as we come to it.